I got a hymn spirit on me this morning. Don't play with me. Guys, I really like the graphic of this series. Of course, you see the text which says responsible and proper Bible interpretation. This is the summer series, so y'all get ready for this all summer, but there's something about these palm trees that has me feeling good. Amen? Makes you want to go somewhere, don't it? Anybody can use a vacation? Yeah, you guys have worked hard all your lives. Y'all need a vacation. This would cause me to want to study the Bible all day with some looking at some palm trees. You don't have to turn yet, sweets, but have you guys ever been in a season where you felt that God was not talking to you, or you felt like, really, God, you're going to pick this time to be mute in my life? You heard crickets more than you heard God. Have you ever been in a season where you heard crickets more than you heard God? Y'all know what crickets mean. In other words, you heard this, it's the silence of God. But perhaps that season where you felt like God was silent, your Bible was closed. Don't say God is silent when your Bible is closed. Closed Bible is a silent God. If you have your physical Bible, if your paper Bible saved this morning, paper Bible saved. An open Bible, guys, means God is not silent in your life. Amen? Amen? We do know that this is God speaking. Even that's why grandma and grandfather, granddaddy, you don't play with this Bible because it's like you're playing with God. In other words, you don't throw this Bible. You don't sit on it. You don't step on it. You get it off the floor. You honor God's word. Amen. That's why it's always open. That huge Bible is open at grandma's house and is in the middle of the room on the table. Have y'all seen that? Of course we've seen that. Psalm 8 says, I want to start here. Psalm 8, verse 1, 3, and 4. Read this with me. It's on the left in the white, of course, on the screen. Psalm 8 is a beautiful scripture. Richard Smallwood wrote a song to this, and I'm not going to sing it. I think y'all got all the singing out of me that you're going to get today. Psalm 8, verse 1, 3, and 4. It says, ready, set, read. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. God, you have set your glory in the heavens. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. Have y'all Googled space? Have you Googled the galaxy and you saw everything connected to the galaxy and space? Everybody say God did that. And so when I look at nighttime and I look out in the galaxy and I look in space, and it's interesting that they call it space because it seems like there's a lot of stuff in space, right? Space means space, but space is full of stuff. Amen? But everybody say God did that. God did that. So why would you not want to follow? Everybody say follow. Why would you not want to follow? Everybody say sit with. Everybody say hug. Everybody say meditate. Muse. Recite. Study. Gaze. Research. Why would you not want to do all of these things on the list? Research the very unadulterated, inerrant word of God. Of course, I'm married, and so that word unadulterated means a lot to us married folks. Amen? Amen. It means a lot, meaning it's faithful. Everybody say faithful. Amen. Why would you not want to read and research and study the unadulterated, inerrant word of God from a spaceless, timeless, immaterial, powerful, personal, supernatural God? If you're that powerful, if you're that serious, if you are the creator of everything that we see, I need to really make it, I need to be obsessed with studying your word. Is that fair? I need to be obsessed with sitting and musing and meditating on your word day and night, like someone says. Perhaps we really don't want to know the truth. First of all, today, if you're a Christian in the room, raise your hand. If you're Christian. So I figured this was going to be a FUBU message. Y'all remember FUBU, for us, by us. I'm not talking about race today. FUBU was a clothing line, if you didn't know. For us, by us, obviously African-Americans, made by African-Americans, for African-Americans. But this teaching today is FUBU. Everybody say FUBU. For Christians, by Christians. Instead of for us. For Christians, by Christians. Because, guys, this is a warning, because the spirit of plausible deniability wants you. What do I mean by that? You said, I didn't know. So if you say you didn't know, then you could perhaps think you're not guilty. Does that make sense? Officer, I didn't know the speed limit was 45. So you can't give me a ticket for doing 80 and 45. Is that going to get you off, guys? It ain't going to get you off. The spirit of plausible deniability wants you. The enemy doesn't want you to know how to interpret the Bible. He wants you clueless. He wants you ignorant. He wants you ignorant and unlearned so he can keep you bound. It could be my observation, but growing up, it seems like we saw Bible teachers or preachers that really came off like more like teachers than preachers. This could be just my observation and my summary. It felt like those individuals, or you looked at those individuals as having less of the Holy Ghost, because they did not, says, and the Bible says, and they didn't have the organ, and they were not spitting and running around the church. But they could break down the word of God where you can understand, and you know how it was interpreted, was the hand of God was on that man of God. Does that make sense? But they did not raise their voice. But the individuals that raised their voices were attributed to having the most Holy Ghost. Am I making that up? We equated emotionalism and music and the sound for Holy Ghost. But guys, let's embrace sound. Everybody say sound. Sound doctrine. Speaking of a sound, let's embrace sound doctrine. The enemy wants you bound from, he wants to keep you bound and unlearned, because he know the Bible stands for, I love this acronym, it stands for basic. If you're taking notes, you may have heard this, you may have not. Basic instructions before leaving the earth. The Bible. Basic instructions before leaving the earth. I know this is a series that, guys, you will not hear in churches across America. And I'm glad Katie and Josh, we had a good time on our last talk or time together, fellowship, huddle, talking about the Bible and how to interpret the Bible. Guys, what topic is more important than properly interpreting the Bible? Y'all think about it. What topic is more important than this topic? We stand corrected, but what topic is more important than properly interpreting the Bible? Give me another topic that's more important than properly interpreting the Bible. Think. Are you thinking? Can you think of something? And guys, I know there's a ish. When I say properly interpret the Bible, that actually may ruffle some feathers, because I'm saying there's a proper way. So if there's a proper way, then there's a what? An improper way. The proper way of interpreting the Bible would get certain fruits. I hope I have your attention, guys. But Josh, I give him the credit. I love what he says. Josh suggests that we should also say being responsible when interpreting the word of God? Everybody say responsible. Because the opposite of responsible is what? Is irresponsible. If there's a system to interpreting God's word, then the opposite of a system is what? No system. It's fluid. We have to be solid when it comes to interpreting God's word. Because the opposite of solid is what? Flimsy. We don't want to be flimsy. And all the guys in the room said, amen. Amen. Rightly dividing the word of truth. So if we're supposed to rightly divide the word of truth, the opposite of rightly is what? Wrongly. Think of the inverse. What is more important than wanting to responsibly, properly, systematic theology? What's more important than wanting to be solid in interpreting the word of God? This is the most important topic. This should be the most important topic for Christians. Because if it's another topic, juxtapose that topic with this topic and see what wins. Because this should precede whatever topic that you come up with. Does that make sense? I remember being in college and in high school, mainly in college, and this is no shade, this is no dig. It's just an observation. Being in a Bible study, and the leader would say to us, 17 in the room, what does the scripture mean to you? Do you not know he's going to get 17 different meanings? That's called relativism. Hope y'all okay this morning. What's wrong with that? Because what if there were 6 billion people in that Bible study and he asked for 6 billion people to say, what does the scripture mean? Everybody say mean. What does it mean to you? Because guess what? He is going to get what? 6 billion different answers of what it what means to you. A better question is, Josh gets the credit for this too. I don't know if he said this last week. A better question is, what stands out in this passage? You guys say that because I'm going to run back here in the back. Everybody say that 5 times. What stands out in the passage? Say it 4 more times. Ready, set, go. What stands out? One more time. One more time. One more time. Guys, the reason why that's a better question is because that question alone is a part of how to properly interpret the Bible. Because how do you get a meaning without a system? How do you get a meaning without properly or rightly dividing the word of truth? So how do you rightly divide the word of truth? Because if I ate bacon on this day, Psalm 1 would mean something different than it meant Tuesday because I ate turkey. So depending on what I eat, the scripture may mean something different. I know I'm being facetious here, but guys, it's one meaning. Everybody write this down or say this, put it in your phone. Everybody say it's only one meaning, but many applications. It's only one meaning, only one. FUBU message, for us, by us, for Christians, by Christians, because we as Christians, why do we not see eye to eye on the same passage? Because somebody is not properly interpreting the word of God. And so the enemy wants us fighting each other because of interpretation or the lack of interpretation. Because some will spend 2 hours on one passage and some will spend 2 seconds. Who should we listen to? The 2 hours. Amen? Amen? Because that's a part of it. Now, God's word is very, it can be clear and it can be very literal. Amen? And so you can get a revelation or you can get the understanding in 2 seconds. Because if I say the day is beautiful, What do I mean by that? Y'all yell it back out to me. It's a beautiful day. The day is beautiful. Does that take 2 hours to interpret that? My wife is beautiful. What do I mean by that? She's a beautiful lady. Y'all watch it. No, I'm just kidding. She is a beautiful lady. Well, I think he means, I think they got into a fight earlier. And what I think he means is he's a, no, that's not what I mean. I mean, she's a beautiful, you don't have to read into that. I literally mean that she's beautiful and there's a beautiful day. This church is the bomb. What do I mean by that? This church is the best. Now, you said it a little bit differently than how I said it, but the main idea is this church is the bomb. You said the church is the best. You translated what I said, but I'm not judging you for that because the main idea is still protected. Do y'all see that? Amen. So, guys, what does these signs mean to you? Drivers, you've been driving. I know you've been driving for 50, 60, 30 years. What do these signs mean to you? I know I got to bring it home, guys, because we risk our lives coming to church every week. Because some people don't know how to what? Interpret what? The signs. And if you do know how to interpret the signs, it's because you've been taught what? Shapes and what? Colors. Thank your parents for teaching you the color red. Because when you go to, listen guys, when you come up to a red light, what do? When you come up to a green light, what do? All right, amen. Amen. When you come up to a green light, what do? You go. You've been taught shapes. So this gentleman or this woman here is coming up to this particular sign. And when you see a rectangle horizontal sign, it means what? Oh, we're in trouble already. It just depends what's on the horizontal rectangle sign, because it could mean that you, it could give you instructions or directions to, or guidance to a hospital or guidance to a park. So it's definitely dependent what, it depends on what's on the sign. So he's coming up to this sign. This car is coming up to this next sign. And what should the car do? How, in properly interpreting the sign, the car would likely do what? Uh-oh. So this is a diamond road sign. And so slow down definitely, because it will be, it's warning us that there's hazards ahead. Then when this car comes to this next sign, which is a red octagon, unanimously we're going to say this car should do what? Stop. Now we are properly interpreting this sign. But how did you guys get to that conclusion? When it comes to this sign, first of all, you're going to hear something. The R gives it away. But you see this round traffic sign, and it definitely means that there's what? There's a train coming or a railroad crossing. Then when this car comes to this next sign, which is an upside down triangle, it means that this car should do what? Yield. Clap your hands. Y'all going to be good Bible students. Listen, if you can interpret signs, you can interpret the Bible properly, because you have a spirit of submitting to a system that will allow you to not be in wrecks, not be in a car accident, and not, you don't want to die, because the lack of being able to interpret this properly is death. And when we don't know how to interpret the Bible properly, we're messing with our future state, which is not on earth. We're messing with our eternal salvation. We're messing with our eternal life. Because imagine if all your life you were believing a lie. What could happen? Imagine if you were believing something. Imagine the lie you were told is Jesus is not the only way to God. I know this is a bold statement, and this is a, I am not coming to condemn, but I know the Bible says literally that Jesus is the what? The only way to God. Well, what it really means No, it means that he is the what? Can you guys, what does only mean in the Greek, in Hebrew? The only option. There's no other option. You don't even have to go to school to know that, right? Amen. Listen, listen, guys, the DMV website, as you're looking at these signs, the DMV website says the traffic signs have one meaning. You don't believe me, you break them. And you go to court and say, judge, to me, this meant something different. What is that judge going to say? You should know. And he likely will grace you out depending on, especially if you say you're a college student. All right. So if you've been out of college for 15 years, don't use that one. He's going to see right through it, guys. But this DMV website suggests, one, read through your driver's handbook for your state. If you find yourself scratching your head trying to interpret traffic signs, which some of us in the room, some of these signs had us scratching our head. What does that really mean? What does that really mean? Number two, DMV website says, take a driver's education class from a trusted instructor. That DMV website is preaching. Number three, take a couple of practice tests that focus on nothing but what? Road signs. In other words, put in the work. Everybody say, put in the work. And study so you can understand road signs so you won't be the cause of a wreck. And you can have a good driving experience. How many want to have a good experience, a Christian experience on earth? Amen. Of course we do. Interpreting the Bible properly is the main way. It is the best way to having that great Christian experience, that great human experience on earth. Because if you're not using this to have that great experience, my question to us, what are we using? What are we using? So that's why the enemy wants us confused. This thing is I do not know everything it is to know about this. But that's not going to stop me from putting in the work. This actually should dictate my schedule every week. Because the devil can hurt you in the areas you don't know. He traffics in darkness, which is ignorance. So he wants you to be ignorant. So he can traffic in those areas because if you don't know, you don't know what to beat him with. You don't know how to beat him. There's answers for everything that we are facing on earth in this Bible. I know, preaching to the choir. But obviously, anxiety is covered in the Bible as well. Amen? The root word for anxiety is what? It's anxious. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. And I love what it goes on to say. And it handles anxiety with prayer, with worship. And then it says, if you pray, if you worship, if you complain not to your therapist, it says if you complain to God, it says make your supplications known to God. And then it says, if you do these three things, the peace of God will heal your immaterial state. Will heal your anxiety. I may get a backpack in the shape of a Bible and start walking around with that bad boy. I know we have it on our phone, but don't you feel more holy when you have this? This is my kid Bible. All right, it's just, man, I have a new appreciation. If I be honest and transparent, I have a new appreciation for the Word of God. I have a new respect for the Word of God. Are y'all judging me? 2 Timothy 2:15. Y'all okay, guys? We're getting somewhere. All right, hopefully. 2 Timothy 2:15. I remember reading the scripture every year at the association, the Baptist Association, and the School of Methods. And this right here is I'm glad that the Baptists, we grew up having associations. We have School of Methods because, again, we were, listen, our church was trying to make sure their young people know how to interpret the Word of God. When I tell you, that was some good sleep at those School of Methods because I didn't want to sit in them Bible classes. Listen, I wasn't interested. Amen. Wasn't interested. 2 Timothy 2:15 commands us to study to show yourself approved unto who? Unto God. A workman that needeth a what? A workman. Everybody say work. Work. A workman. Everybody say work.
Work.
This takes work. It takes work to study. Everybody say it takes work. It takes work. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study comes from a word called spoudazo. I think I'm saying it right, even in my Fafars language. And if I don't say it in this teaching, y'all ask me after service about me trying to talk in my Fafars language to a group of about 70 singers in my Fafars voice, and there was over 10 nationalities. First of all, I needed an interpreter. Ooh, that'll preach all by itself. I needed a translator. And I was able to be productive because of what? This translator. But man, maybe I'll talk about that next time. Guys, study comes from this word called spoudazo. Spoudazo. It means to give diligence. It means to exert yourself in the word of God. To make haste. It means to promptly, diligently give diligence. Dividing, it comes from a word that means to cut straight. When we're reading the word of God, guys, let's not consider not making this thing say what it doesn't say. Amen? I'm going to show you, I'm going to end today with an example. And you're going to see this before your very eyes. It comes from a word means to cut straight, to teach the truth directly and correctly. Hold a straight course. Properly interpreting the word of God will make your ears keen to lies, to false doctrine. This is not to make you arrogant in the kingdom. It's to protect you in the kingdom. Protect your soul. This is insurance. This is that extra, you don't even have to buy this. This is free. You don't have to buy the extra protection. This series is like you're buying that extra house warranty on your house or your car or your apartment. This is like that extra protection when you start to give in this season. Time to properly interpreting the word of God. Does this excite you? Hope so, guys. To cut straight. So this is my motivation to spoudazo. Everybody say spoudazo. Have you ever pulled a muscle studying God's word? This is all fun and games. What do I mean by that? Are you putting that much energy when you study God's word that you are pulling a muscle? Are you exerting that much energy? What do I mean by that? The motivation for properly interpreting the word of God is, number one, ensuring faithfulness to God. Number two, avoiding alignment with erroneous beliefs. Number three, interpreting the word of God properly is not reserved for the elite. And for those that have the biggest bank accounts. Number four, it is easier than you think. Number five, it helps you develop a false doctrine radar. 2 Timothy 2:15 helps you know God better and your relationship with God goes to another level. Just when you thought you have maxed out your closeness with God, you give attention to properly studying God's word, you and God gonna get even tighter. I'm telling you what I know. You're going to get even tighter. You're going to feel such a peace. You're going to feel such a confidence in God. you will be able to contend for the faith better. And the Holy Spirit will help you. Peter and John's boldness surprised those in that day because they said, listen, these guys, I'm really shocked at their boldness in this passage in Acts. And it's basically saying these guys look like they've been in a seminary, but they have not been in a seminary. But they have this boldness like they have been learned. And so, guys, the Holy Ghost will help you, and it will help you sound more eloquent than you really sound. Take it from this Fair Forest, South Carolina boy. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost will have you sounding more learned than you really are. Amen? When you say it, you have a different response than the person that went to seminary. Because you obviously are, you're proved, listen, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When you show yourself approved unto God, he will grace you in this area. He will grace you to communicate truths and interpret the word of God, but then deliver that in a style like only like nobody else can. You guys will be able to reach somebody with the word of God like differently than Alpheus, than Jerry, than Josh, than Katie. So don't think this is reserved for pastors and teachers and bishops. You guys, when we give attention to this and you minister to your cousin, to your niece, to your nephew, to your best friend, you can say, hey, best friend. That sounds good, but that's false. And then they'll say, what you mean that's false? And then when you present your case, you have changed their life eternally because they were believing such a lie that's rooted in darkness, and it's slowly having them away from the truth. And if you're away from the truth, you're away from freedom. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, and how from a baby and how from infancy you have known the Holy Spirit, the Holy Scripture, excuse me, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scriptures, everybody say all scriptures. Everybody say all scriptures. Everybody say all scriptures. This is 2023 because, man, so many are cherry picking from this. Everybody say, all scriptures is God breathed. This is what the Bible says, because God knew there was going to be some naysayers and some skeptics. All scripture is God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. The series may feel like a class. It may not feel like traditional church presentation. And if it feels like seminary, then you know you're in the right place, guys. The Bible says it's and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be what? Thoroughly equipped for what? Every good work. Don't you want to be equipped? Amen. I want to be equipped for every good work. And this style of presentation and this style of delivering God's word and teaching God's word, this experience is Holy Ghost, holy. To me, it's like this right here makes me want to run to Clemson. Amen. With my shoes off, with my Bible in the air, say, this is holy ground. Man, I hate being in the dark. I hate not knowing. But I also can be lazy sometimes. Oh, the transparency in this teaching. My daddy is a hacker. Hey, daddy, on the screen. My daddy will piecemeal stuff together. He would duct tape stuff together. Is it solid? And then he passed that down to me. And every single day I fight the spirit of hacking and piecemealing and duct taping. We cannot bring that approach to the word of God. And I've been trying to hack it over the years. over the years. When you know better, you do what? You do better. Obviously, God is gracious. And I'm enjoying the journey of not hacking, but it takes work. Oh, it takes work. Oh, my, listen, it takes work. It takes not watching. I don't even know what y'all watch. I'll just tell you what I watch. It takes not watching Hallmark. It takes not watching HGTV. It takes not watching Sisters. It takes not watching the Tyler Perry movies. It takes not binging on Netflix for an entire day. It takes stealing away. It takes work. It just takes work. It takes time. It takes a lot of time. And you only have 24 hours in a day. And it's easy to be distracted. Amen. And give your attention to studying something else. Being on YouTube trying to figure out how you're going to make those apple pies. Like somebody in this room to my right, your left. I have to get on YouTube. And 2 hours later, I'm trying to watch videos and I'm actually studying the recipe. And I'm trying to taste it because I got one of the apple pies in the freezer. And I'm trying to taste it, look at the YouTube because I'm too embarrassed to call her. And then now 2 hours so I can figure out how to make a great apple pie. Good God Almighty. What if we gave attention like that? YouTube. Speaking of YouTube, there's a YouTube channel I'm going to share with you guys as I close that will be a blessing that will assist you guys with properly, rightly, responsibly interpreting God's word. So let's break down work, and I'm going to end with this. Work, W, you just need will. Amen? Skill starts with will. These guys that we respect, these theologians, modern theologians, these great Bible teachers, it starts with will. Skill starts with will. Interpretation is a choice. Seek. The Bible says, draw near. If you draw near to God, he will do what? He will draw near to you. So I think it was Mike Murdoch that says, what you fail to honor will eventually exit your life. So if we don't honor the word of God like we should, revelation is never going to be there. God, listen, 100% close, 100% God not speaking to you. Now, I want to clarify this because I know some of you may say, well, I close my Bible and God speaks directly to me. But perhaps what we say God said to me is different from this. There's a contradiction. Yeah. That makes sense? Amen. Close your Bible and listen to God for yourself. There's a contradiction in that statement. I know this is really confronting some things. Would God ever tell you to close your Bible and not listen to him through his word? Close your Bible and listen to God. When somebody tells you to do that, you need to leave that. You need to leave. You need to leave. Well, what he meant? No, what he meant was shut off the truth and listen to your feelings. And if you ate a bacon, ham, and cheese sandwich, you already know what's going to happen. Work, exert, diligence, commit. Oh, observation. This author and great Bible teacher named Howard Hendrick, if you want to look him up, I think he died in 2013. He championed observation, this technique or this skill. What does the text say? Work. Everybody say work. Will, observation. He suggests we should observe, just spend time observing the word of God. And guys, if you break the speed limit when reading the word of God, so I just happen to be in Psalm 115. Now unto us, O Lord, now unto us mercy, and for thy truth's sake. Where you see, I'm breaking the speed limit. Everybody say, slow down. Observation before interpretation. Say that with me. Observation before interpretation. Y'all see the system here that we're lifting? Observation. Number three, careful attention. and awareness. Systematic in your observation. And when I teach again, guys, I'm going to share a ton of I'm going to shed light on number four. Systematic in your observation. Aura, reread and research. Everybody say reread.
Reread.
God, what are you saying? I don't know. Reread and what? Research. Your daddy may have given you this advice. Measure twice and do what? Cut once. Let's remix it a little bit. Measure twice and divide once. Because remember, 15 minutes ago, I said there's one meaning, but many what? Many applications. There's only one meaning. All right? So careful attention. Reread. Three, what is being said? Number two, how is it being said? Number three, who is it being said to? Number four, when is it being said? Number five, where is it being said? Guys, if you put this WORK acronym into place, it's going to be a blessing to your Bible interpretation, okay? Number five, K, keys. Sweets, I'm not going to be less than 30 minutes. We had a bet. I'm not going to be an hour, but I'm not going to be less than 30 minutes. Is that okay, guys? Are y'all all right? Because I won't see you guys for another 2 months. Because I'm going to Aruba for 90 days. I'm just kidding. Keys. Everybody say keys. So write down these apps here. If you're watching online, I want you to write down these apps, or if you can put it in the chat. The Takata app is great. It's a great app. And Bible Project is a YouTube channel that I think you guys should subscribe to. These theologians from the West Coast has put together something phenomenal, and it will help you interpret the Bible and understand the Bible. And it's in an entertaining way. It has music, sound effects, and it is spot on, all right? And how do we know it's spot on? Because they're using a system. They tons of research, tons of observation. Number four, everybody say seek counsel. Yeah. Seek counsel. Well, I'm just going to study the Bible on my own. I'm not going to ask anybody. God is going to directly speak to me on what this passage means. And then a year later, you still don't know what the passage means. And you're one person away from understanding what that passage means, because where you're lazy, this person may be diligent, and it will help you. It will help shed light on the passage. Does that make sense? Plus, the Bible says there's safety in the what? In the multitude of counsel. In the multitude of counsel. So it takes humility for Alpheus to ask. Man, there's some pastors that I will call just to talk about the Bible. And some of them may not want to talk about the Bible, but I see them as the Bible guy. And I'll sneak it in there and say, how you doing, Pastor XYZ? Hey, and I'll casually bring in this text that's so confusing. And they rise to the occasion every single time. Because they have years. Plus, this man has a lot more gray hair than me. And he's been pastoring. And so, everybody say, seek counsel. Hope this is not, I'm not boring you guys, because this is really exciting to me. Number five, brush up on your English. Everybody say, brush up on your English. Because the Bible is translated from Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic to what? To English. But what if you don't know English? English is your primary language, but you don't know how to properly, you don't know how the subject verb agreements work, then interpreting your Bible, Alpheus, is going to be kind of difficult. If you only know how to speak Ebonics, interpreting the Bible is going to be kind of difficult. That's no shade. I'm just telling you, Alpheus is brushing up on his English. And not using Fairfax, South Carolina as an excuse not to be closer to the truth and rightly divide the word of truth. Is it going to take work? It's going to take work. It's going to take work. So consider doing what I am planning on doing, guys, which is brushing up on my English. Number six, BibleTools.org. So many of these resources have concordances and commentaries. concordances can help ensure the original meaning, and the original meaning is protected and preserved. Okay? And so I think I'm going to end here. Guys, so what we want to be careful not to do and what we want to listen out for is making, when you're reading God's word, it's making a point. Or you are, I think it's dangerous to throw the Bible open and wherever it lands, that's what you hang your hat on. I would consider not doing that, guys. Because rightly dividing the word of truth, can you stand? That let me know not to go an hour, because I could really keep going. I would consider not doing that, guys, because there is a system. The Bible says rightly divide the word of truth. There is a system to this. Because what I've been guilty of, many of us have been guilty of, thinking the Bible is about me. Me, mine, my happiness, and nothing else matters. But there is a system to this. The Bible, listen, the enemy wants you to believe a lie. He wants you to be aligned with the lie. 2 Corinthians 10 says, 10:4, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." Read this with me, guys. This is a good example to end on. All right, read it with me, and I want you to look at this. We'll go to speed limit. Ready, set, go. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." 2 Corinthians 10. "But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Raise your hand if you do not know what strongholds really mean. Raise your hand. The camera's on me, not on you guys. Raise your hand. If I come to you and you can tell me what a stronghold means in the Greek, then keep your hands down. If you don't know the original meaning of strongholds, raise your hand. Okay. That's okay. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." And I really think this example will bring home the case I'm trying to make for rightly dividing the word of truth. Because, guys, we can walk away with something that sounds good, but this bottom line, imagine me coming here, reading the scripture and saying this, and you guys walking away saying, "That man talked today, he preached." But I was totally, if I taught this, I was totally off. I did not. But I just want to show you that the bottom line from this, if we don't do careful exegesis to this text, we can walk away saying, God wants us, read this with me, guys. Ready, set, go. From this text, ready, set, go. God wants us to see ourselves, read it with me, as he sees us. What's wrong with that? Nothing's wrong with that. It's just not, that's not the text that supports this. That's, the text doesn't support that. Okay? He wants us to know we are fearfully and wonderfully made. What's wrong with that? There's another passage for that. Amen? That's not what this text is saying. He wants us to fight. He wants us to fight for you to think like a boss. Does the text say that? To think like a boss, and whenever you downgrade yourself, he wants you to beat insults to the punch. God wants you to cast it down. Is the text saying that, guys? The text is not saying that. You need to wake up every day and fight for your mental health. What's wrong with that? Nothing's wrong with that. But is that what the text is saying? That's not what the text is saying. We have made this text and many texts, and this is just an example. Do you see how many I's we have inserted in this text? God wants me to see. God, he wants me. He wants me. that I am, he won't, you see how this self-centered, we have made this passage self-centered. When you don't properly divide the word of God, I submit to us, you can become self-centered. And Alpheus needs to repent. Amen? When you put in the work, you clearly see that 2 Corinthians 10, 4 says, talks about contending for the faith. Number 2, being equipped enough to detect and confront lies. Having courage to look at a fortress, stronghold. So you will have to dig into this passage, and I'm not going to bore y'all this week. Next time, I'm boring y'all. I'm telling you, I'm going to bore you all. But you will be able to look the lies in the face, a fortress, which is a physical fortress is talking about, in the face and say with love, boldness, and grace, devil, you a liar. Everybody say, devil, you a liar. But how do I, so y'all trusting me that what I am saying concerning this passage is right. I didn't just come to that conclusion reading that slow and not doing, putting in the work. Amen? But if not, then I can have you guys hyped up on something that, and connected to a passage of scripture that it shouldn't be connected to. And guess what? That's problematic. Because if you can do that for that passage, guess what? There's some other passages that you can do that to and have you in error. So God, we do absolutely not want to be in error. You know that we only have a XYZ.